Greetings and hello. My name is Fernando Vincent Ramos.
Namla Misha from Servisco
Village Voice.
Village Voice.
We are centered in the Bayview Hunters Point, and we're interested on developing voices, community voices, in every manner, shape, or form, because those voices need to be heard, and that value needs to come from those communities. This is Misha.
Yeah.
And she is the director of Industrielli Foundation and a police accountability of formatted foundation to hold police accountable and hold people in positions accountable.
And the radio station is actually located in the very heart of Bayview, 4921 3rd Street. That's Industrielli Foundation. Some of you may remember Industrielli, my only child, was killed by the police 5 years ago. 48 bullets, nine peace officers. So we had to get busy. And the radio station opened 3 months ago on January 15th with a strong emphasis on the voice of young people of color.
And with those young people of color, it's a young people, senior people, and everyone in between to let them know they have voice, they have value, and to exercise that voice through community radio, community input, and a concept of reinventing community, a community that we can all be proud of and not just push one group away for another group.
We currently have, I believe, close to 24 anchors. The radio station is 24/7. And some of them are kind of permanent features by now. We used to broadcast, I had a show called No Pigs in the Hood and Bayview Hunters Point Community Radio 2 years ago, and Michael Hibbett, the owner of that radio station, had to leave for San Leandro. He's back with us now doing the saga of the African diaspora every Sunday for 4 hours. And we also have Dennis Billup, who's doing a spiritual show, Salah Chandler, who was a former candidate supervisor for District 10, Cassandra James, the youth commissioner. We got lots of young people from the Bayview Hunters Point Foundation. Lots of young folks, and I think that's eventually what our vision would be, is that when the radio station is well set, and also with webcasts and telecasts, we will donate the radio station to the youth in Bayview.
And the most important thing with developing these voices, it's a voice that includes all people. People want to look at solutions and to solve our problems of the day. The most important solution is found in pluralism, universal pluralism, where all people have voice and all people have value, and the only law is you must speak up. And in all the situations of our life today, it's based on people not speaking up, not putting any value to their voice, to their soul, to their heart, to their mind, to really express what needs to happen, needs to change. Here in America, all the confusion of this war, all social strife and criminal horrors, people need to speak up before those horrors catch up to us. In developing the voices of the Bayview Hunters Point, it's important to let these young people speak up, senior people, and just to know that we're different so we can share those differences. And for the Bayview people and the community people, for any of those people who wish to do programming, we want music, we want discussion, we want dialogue, open up all the issues.
And we ain't afraid of controversy, you hear?
It's activism with a capital A on all levels of life.
Yeah.
So that if we could ask women, if women around the world, what would be different, what would be better, I hope women would say everything. And in the Bayview Hunters Point, if black people around the world, what would be different, what would be better? Everything. Activism with a capital A.
We need to mention also that we do free advertising for every black and brown small business in Bayview. They do PSA and we rotate them on the air. And we also a bilingual radio station, Flor Ramos from La Raza Centro Legal is coming to do La Voz de San Pancho, La Voz de la Raza, twice a week. So it's clearly about the people. And we're not advertising for Lennard Development, Wells Fargo, etc. We do free advertising for black and brown business in Bayview to strengthen people of color ownership of the neighborhood before gentrification. They think it's on their way. They rejected, Dennis Herrera rejected 33,000 signatures that we had to fight eminent domain on a technicality. Supposedly we did it on the wrong form. Guess what? We're collecting signatures again.
And that's just another reflection of how people are pushed away, kept out of the situation, kept out of the system. A couple other people we have working with us on our radio program is Mr. Dennis Billups and Leroy Moore. They're two disabled individuals, and they have the voice of disabled people, disabled activists. And that's another question. If we really looked at all our pain and all our handicaps, what if disabled people around the world, what would be different, what would be better? We would identify ourselves through our inner pain and inner sufferings, but profit and corruption and greed really leads the way right now. And that's a terrible problem in the Bayview, Hunter's Point, because it's gentrification. It has to be addressed, and when communities can reinvent themselves, let those communities own their land, give up 50%, keep 50%. It's a question. You got to dialogue, you got to discuss. Universal pluralism puts voice and value in all people.
And, of course, all of us who are doing low-end radio at risk, you know what happened to Liberation Radio, who was chased out of neighborhoods a couple of times before they relocated in Berkeley. Cop Watch from Berkeley called me back in August saying, guess what, the feds called and they're going to confiscate our equipment in 24 hours. And that's cute, because in Bayview, they will come with a no-knock warrant, they will confiscate the equipment and give us a $10,000 fine. So, you know, we're just on a string right here, and it's really important that all of us who are doing alternative radio actually purchase a website, do telecast and webcast as well, because then when the feds come, all they can confiscate is your low-amp transmitter, since you use all the rest of the equipment to do the telecast and the webcast. But as is, if you don't have that already hooked up, they can confiscate everything. So watch out, you all, and take your steps.
And this is the Bayview Hunter's Point Village Voice, and what we're talking about is community radio, community values, and all this format can be taken to every community, Filipino community, Vietnamese community, Asian community, Latino communities, to where every neighborhood has their own sense of values, their own sense of unique and wonderful stories and insights and discussions which to share. And once neighborhood public radio can even be more thrown into contemporary society, where people can really enjoy listening rather than just complaining, so that we can get from point A to point B with solutions.
And that also call in, you know, when there is a landline and you can take live calls on the air. That's really when you need to do your outreach to engage people. We provide free training for programming and broadcasting and emceeing, and encourage all those young peeps out there to show them there is an alternative to street life. We cannot guarantee that they're going to make more money than at the corner, but at least we give them a viable skill. When they know how to operate their keyboard, how to do the fading, etc., they can go to KPFA when there is an opening, and they can show them they know what they're talking about.
And in the same context, if senior citizens could come out of their homes, not be so isolated, use their voice, express their concerns, if senior citizens ran the world, what would be different, what would be better? What would the healthcare system really look like? But in giving voice, you start to build that voice and then build those values so that people can be mad as hell and then start wanting to do something about it. That's why it's activism with a capital A. You got to reinvent what that feels, looks like, and tastes like, so that when you have victory, you stand proud.
And you make them dangerous, Brother Fernando. I remember that poem, Grandma Got a Shotgun, right?
And one of the many interesting formats is to put energy and life in all people. Grandmamas, 10 years ago, I gave them a play from the Bayview's Hunter's Point, Grandmama's Got a Shotgun. And yeah, grandmama's taking it to the street. Grandmama's taking over those streets because the law is corrupt. And in certain places of the world, we know how corrupt that law is.
I just wanted to interrupt and just ask you if you could just talk a little bit about yourselves and your own backgrounds. And, you know, you talked a bit about your organization, but it'd be great to hear a bit about you, too.
My name is Fernando Vincent Ramos, and I have the privilege of being an artist, a dimensional artist, and a I've been doing radio for the last 2 years. I met Misha doing another radio program, helping her with her engineering program. And as an artist...
Enemy Combatant Radio,
Enemy
right?
Combatant Radio, yes. And as an artist, it's just we need to find all these tools to really help open up people's visions. And my role is just to be the best man I could be. And being the best man I could be is to empower all women on every level of life. And to address that in my specific life goal, my life work, is just to be the best human being, best man I can, best father I can, and best worker I can. And right now, that's just having a community effort.
How about your theater project?
And as an artist, I'm a playwright, and that's why I threw out some of my topics. If black people around the world, what would be different, what would be better? It's a play. It's called Glitter of the Race. Same thing with senior citizens. What if they had their own political party? Very senior citizen voted. So issues that need to be put in context that doesn't frighten people. In drawing people closer, we got to be more creative, 10 times more creative. And that's really the role, to be so creative that that outside established society does not expect anything from this community world. That's my investment. That's what I look for.
And my name is Misha Monge-Irisari. That's a handful, that's a mouthful. So usually people call me La Misha or Sister Misha. And as I used to say, nothing but a grieving mom. I lost my only child to law enforcement 5 years ago, so I just had to get busy. Before that, I was mostly a program director in substance use, HIV, battered women. But ever since the care of my child, I opened the SOAR, Police Accountability Direct Services in the city.
So it was your son?
Idris Deli was killed at the Metreon.
Okay. So right. That's a very famous case.
And, you know, there's been a lot of emphasis and censorship. To excuse me, English is my fourth language. Sensationalismo about my son's case, and I always deflect away from that because, besides the fact that I miss him very much, there was nothing special about Idris Deli's case. It's about breathing while black, and that's why we choose to concentrate on the current cases. Not that it doesn't happen to white folks. It happens once in a great while, and we extend our support to them. And we extend our support and open our arms to the true white liberals. Everybody in San Francisco is a white liberal, but there is a difference between talking the talk and walking the walk. So for all of you out here who are not afraid to come to Bayview, don't think that you're going to be killed for your skin color, who really want to stand by us and fight that fight to keep the neighborhood where it belongs, with the people. You're welcome.
I know that this is Katina, and she's also part of Neighborhood Public Radio, and she gets very frustrated with the art world, right? And we were kind of thinking about, like,
tell us about that a bit.
Yeah, and how art, what your views are with art and how effective it can be. I guess that was kind of your thing, yeah?
Yeah, the entire day today as different things have been rattling about in my mind. I'm really interested in being a part of communities, and I just moved to San Francisco and learning more about the different communities here and the different struggles and efforts that have been put forth and have also been stifled in different scenarios. So just kind of getting my feet wet and also coming to graduate school from being a high school teacher, and also as a high school teacher working within community, sort of I assumed that every community was like that. And then the art world hit me in the face a bit in that there are a lot of programs surfacing called social practices. And you can go to graduate school and get a major in social practices. And those practices are usually involving communities that you aren't already a part of. So artists tend to come into communities and sort of impose themselves with this idealistic sort of utopian ideal, you know, of what they can do in the community. And
especially
and
the commentators, let us teach you what you need.
Exactly right.
And they want to push that literature on us when actually, come and see, let's see if you're generally interested in what's happening here
and
in the neighborhood.
And listen, and to
and
learn
then
how to.
If you get involved at that level, maybe we will be interested into listening what you got to say.
Absolutely. And it takes a long time to develop those relationships.
That's right.
You can't come in and say, okay, we're going to do this program, this residency program for a month or 2 months. It takes years and years to really understand what's happening in the neighborhood.
It takes trust.
And listen.
It takes food. You hear you all? When you come to Third Street, you want to do an event, think about food, not food, not bomb, real food.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just I'm thoughtful about it today in terms of just the privilege that exists in the art world, and my participation in it recently has just brought up a lot of questions for me. And I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit, maybe both of you could speak
well,
a little bit more to it.
First of all, I hope that you're going to hook up with us, sister, as well as this network here.
I would love to.
Because you look like you got your mind and your soul in the right place.
Thank you.
On the artistic dynamic, it's an interesting dynamic because a lot of people want to be successful. And for myself, I want to be a successful community artist. I want to commit to the community, and in my aspect of disturbing the equilibrium is to have a community kitty, where in this community kitty, the real art of that community can come out. Stories, discussions, issues that reflect that community, those stories and those values of that community. That's why, you know, I talked about one of my plays, the Grandma on Patrol. Grandmama's got a shotgun. It's just that we got to find ways to really put art back into people and let that be okay, and not just to go and look at some spectacles saying, oh, wow, I saw this, oh, I saw that. And so in putting art back into the communities, back into the people, to something that they can own, the community kitty is something that the community owns. So for my commitment to the Bayview, I've given 3 or 4 plays, say, this is for your kitty, this is for the community kitty, for the youth. We had a youth who had a show with us one time, and he was very fractionalized. He didn't care about anything. So in the next 2 or 3 weeks in working with him, I worked with him and I pulled out a whole new play based on this young man, you know, investing in himself. And for the second, as an artist, the one privilege we have is when we have someone able to think. This boy was scratching his head thinking, how could I do this? How could I do that? So, you know, really as an artist, to really share our art in a way that we're the only ones that make the world better. You know, we're the only ones that's going to save it.
I think that for anybody who is joining here in Bayview and generally interested, you have to realize that Bayview is at war. We are now in a cute cafe with people who have, you know, a liberal outlook on life, and that's great. And we have to be inclusive of all people in the neighborhood. But remember that the kids here are dying, not just from crime on the street, on the street when the police is bringing the AK-47 and the crack to our neighborhood to justify the criminalization. You have 47% birth defect in San Francisco and in Bayview. And this is our fault because we don't know how to take care of ourselves and we're on crack. We have kids who have spontaneous nosebleeds near the sewage plant every day. You have kids dying from asthma every day up on the hill. You have Lennard pushing generations of people away to grab that land. You can see all the blight, all those houses that are boarded up now. Those are people who have been chased out, and those properties are being flipped until they reach 1.5 million. This is war here. Okay, so there is an aspect that is very exciting with the inclusion of many people from many heritage coming to the Bayview, some good, some bad. You have a lot of methamphetamine labs that are setting in now. You know that those are operated by people of Caucasian descent. You can imagine what a speed run with the flight of rage is going to do when it reaches the customers in the African-American community in Bayview. Okay, and so there's going to be clashes. There's going to be a lot of distrust. There's going to be a lot of positive efforts. But when you come to Bayview, you're coming to war. So you have to be ready. You have to have courage. You have to have value, and you have to have commitment.
One question that I had then about definitely the kind of the birth defects and contamination of Bayview. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the military, the Navy, used it to wash down radioactive ships.
The Hiroshima bomb was manufactured right here on Parcel E. Did
right.
you know that?
So the question that I have is, if people are dying there and children
yes.
are dying as
yes.
well, why are real estate developers anxious to flip properties like that if, you know, the rich people's kids are just going to be deformed and dying too?
They will. Actually,
that's the corrupt nature of the whole system.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Actually, Lennard was trying to put a cap on Parcel E, which is completely illegal. You cannot cap radiation. It's going to slip through. So it was interesting because I saw 3 years ago during the election, Angela Aliotto came here, and we were pushing those stats on her, and she was listening politely, and then Dr. Ahimsa Samchai, who is an environmentalist, actually told her, but you know, when the wind blows, this is going to the marina. And Angela just flipped a pen, and the pen says, oh, can you corroborate those stats for me? So when, you know, that's what's going to happen, when you see the flip, when the Asian and the white population is coming more majorly coming to that neighborhood, that's when you're going to see the major changes in terms of health policies. Up to now, Mitch Katz, the director of public health is saying that there is absolutely no direct correlation between the mortality rate in Bayview and environmental hazard, which is BS. We all know what we're dying from here.
Right.
And well, one thing I just want to say, that, you know, there's no unjust causes. All causes are just. We just got to find the right means. And using community radio, neighborhood radio, it's those voices that just are not being heard, and people do not have the faith in themselves to really reinvent themselves. In reinventing themselves, we can look at all these issues. And in a good working environment, all things can be solved. We can look at these things as communities and say, this is how we will deal with this.
And we need to emphasize that. All of us who are here, who are trying to do good work, who are trying to have fun here, also have to realize that there is a critical need of a high school in Bayview. There is a critical need of a hospital in Bayview.
Hospital, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Critical need to get rid of that waste disposal.
That means quality of life and preventing people from dying. But that ain't going to happen until the racial disparity and the racial contradictions that are bothering Newsom are going to disappear from this neighborhood. We're not going to see that until the neighborhood is gentrified, unfortunately.
Right.
Unless we fight it. Unless we call the shots.
I mean, so this is an issue, actually. I was talking about recently to a friend who runs a gallery up in the Mission called Southern Exposure.
Yes, yes.
Her name's Courtney Fink, and we were talking about the true nature of gentrification. I mean, for people listening, you know, this is obviously something you've probably heard the word, but, you know, you might not be familiar with it. So what do you guys actually consider gentrification? And, you know, after following that, what do you do about it? I've heard many people say, you know, you have to stop gentrification.
You have to challenge the hype.
And
first
what
of
does
all,
that mean?
You see, in order to gentrify a neighborhood, you need to criminalize a neighborhood to cleanse it. For example, you probably have heard of the gang injunction against the Oakdale mob. The Oakdale is a perimeter of four blocks, about 10 blocks away from here. We have interviewed kids from our neighborhood, you know, masses of them, dozens of them on the radio show. Do you know anybody in the Oakdale mob? Hell no, I got a cousin in West Mob. Oh no, my sister is in Big Block. No, I'm from up the hill. There's not such a thing as the Oakdale mob. Oakdale mob means the family on Oakdale block. But see, that's why you have a gang injunction that are getting ready to roll in Lakeview, Visitation Valley, the Tenderloin, and the Mission. This was the pilot. Those are all areas that are targeted for gentrification. You have Armenian gangs who kill. You have Irish gang and Russian Jew gangs who kill in the Sunset and the Richmond. You have Asian gangs who kill in Chinatown and North Beach. You have Italian gangs who kill in North Beach. They are never in the corporate press. And whenever there's a casualty, it just goes into a small column. It's not a political issue because those are not targeted for gentrification. Same thing in Detroit, Los Angeles, Chicago, Fresno. This is the essence of the gang injunction, is gentrification. So we got to call the hype. I'm sorry?
Sorry, what's the link between the injunction and then how does that enable the gentrification?
When a kid is caught in a neighborhood where supposedly he doesn't belong or is out after 9 o'clock, he then face a $1,000 fine or 6 months in jail. He's also barred from coming into his parents' home if it's a public project.
So it makes people
move out. A housing project. So people move out because if your kid come and visit you, then you get evicted. When you get evicted, all the projects are being barred up right now. There is strong push to make this a touristic town, to get rid of all the projects and send everybody to Treasure Island, Palo Alto, Sunnyvale. So that's the way, it's like when you criminalize a neighborhood, you make room to accelerate blight and rezoning so that it's getting ready to gentrify. It's all over the country, it's not just here. But you have to realize that Bayview is the epitome of the exacerbation of all those factors that make gentrification happen faster.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's the American way, is the way that the towns are planned.
That's the white American way. That's not our way. And there's actually more. The whites are minorities now in the United States, according to the last census. So we can't say the American way anymore.
Okay.
We've got to say the people's way.
But what I'm saying is that the tradition in this country,
yes,
is to have, we put all similar people in one area. So if I'm from London, and the nature of the way the town has grown and the town planning and the bombing...
You lost your accent.
It means that you walk down a street and you have projects right next to people that own houses.
Right.
So it's not like all one
right.
area is
right.
one thing,
right.
you know?
Right.
It's not. I mean, there are certain areas that are poorer, of course, but it's not so segregated.
Yeah.
But anyway... We stopped your flow, I don't know.
I talked too much, so I'm going to let Fernando close down. And I hope that we stay hooked up with you guys and that we're going to do more events together, that we're going to share some program together, swap guests as well, and make things happen in a big way here.
Thank you so much. I feel really, really excited that you came down today. And frankly, you are probably... making me feel a lot better.
Amen to
all
that.
Day,
and
all
no
day
pigs in the hood.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm originally from New York City. I grew up in the Bronx, and my mother is Latina, and I don't look it. But, you know,
I knew you were a sister.
You did. How did you know? You're good. But I think that, you know, I've had the privilege of having a strong education and being raised in a very sort of strict family that kept me under wraps, you know, and now I'm independent and I'm out on my own. But I'm very passionate about youth, and I'm really excited that you all are really focused on the elderly and the youth in your community and really working to give them an opportunity to amplify their voices.
And criminalized people in general.
In general.
Because we
mm-hmm.
have to look at the root of crime and challenge the city to correct the roots of crime.
And
thank
what
you.
That small thing in the reference of crime is just the biggest thing in all crime is a byproduct of life and pain, and the biggest victim of all that is how women are treated. And being a soldier in the war on sexism, those problems can be dealt with and addressed if our humanity, the man in humanity, can eventually start to grow up in a real sincere kind of way. And I address that through the foundation as a class issue, class dynamic, so that different class perspectives can be shared, can transcend each other, and to reflect the real need of our life, and it's to really enjoy ourselves and to help each other the best way we can.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
I'm glad to say that Fernando is a feminist, and that's a winning combination. I'm an old dyke. I'm not afraid to say it because, you know, I'm old now, so I still bite, but I don't bark. So, but it's nice to have a brother here who understands the needs of women and the struggle of women.
Yes,
we still bark at each other once in a while, but he's cool.
To be a role model for young men as well,
yes, thank
you know,
you.
And to have them hear you is really important. So thank you. I'm going to end
all
here.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bless you both.
And we come back here.
These two.